Hi, everybody. My name's Eric. Known as Eric with a K to some, Ewok to others, and Special K to some. The nicknames go on and on and on in this program. But anyway, it's my pleasure tonight to introduce our speaker, who has come to us tonight all the way from Bell, right? Bell, California. Some of you are shaking your heads going, where the hell is Bell? It's down near Paramount, not the studio. Paramount, the city, which is sort of near some pretty crazy places. And I go to a Wednesday night meeting down there that's just off the hook. And I've gotten to know our speaker at that location. And I can say this about our speaker, that to know her is to love her. And so I know that what she has to say tonight is something we all need to hear. And I just want to welcome Elsie to come on up and give us your story.
Hi, everybody. My name is Elsie.
Hi, Elsie.
I'm a proud member of this Worldwide Fellowship. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting. And I know that I'm here to speak to one person that's probably as angry or as sad or as hurting as I walked into this room when I did 25 years ago. It's been 25 years. And I would never have imagined that. And I'm a completely different person. You know, on the write-up, we were talking and someone said that they used to tag, and I said, you know, I remember learning how to tag my name. So that's how I was, you know, a long time ago. But when I came in here because someone's drinking was bothering me, and I came here because I didn't know what was wrong. I just knew the feeling of being angry, and I knew that I couldn't handle it anymore. You know, I had done everything right so far. In my family, I only had two kids, and in my extended family, everybody had six plus kids. So I did the right thing there. And I and I had a husband, you know, which was another right thing. And I had finished high school, and I had gone on, or was about to go on. So I did it right. And because I did it right, I got this little paper that said, oh, okay, you know, you finished and you can become you can work with children. And I'm like, but that's not what I want to do. I just want to help the teacher. And I walked in and I gave him this little paper, and all of a sudden they gave me a staff, and they, you know, here goes my head, they gave me a staff, they gave me an office, they gave me a secretary, and I didn't even get to see the kids except the ones that were troublemakers. But with that, my husband wasn't happy, you know, because I was making money and I wasn't doing the tradition thing. He wanted me to stay home. But I wanted us to look perfect, right? And it was getting harder and harder. And at that job, I was doing little workshops for the parents to teach them about drugs and alcohol, right? But I didn't know that in my home, I was trying to keep it together. At that time, no computers, and there was this big old book, and you could find places to go to help the alcoholic. And I remember I would call, and I would say, you know, I think my husband is drinking. I think my husband drinks too much. And they would say, does he want to talk to us? And of course he didn't. Then my husband got this job, and he had insurance. So then I kept on calling them. And they said, no, you know, your husband has to call. So then I had this great idea. And this is what brought me home. It brought me home, I say home, to the meetings. I said, if I hurt myself just enough and have my children with me, that he has to visit us in the hospital every day. So that was my thought. And here I was, did this prestigious little job. And And then I called that program, and then I told them my great idea, and they gave me an appointment for the next morning, but it was for me. And so it started. I went for a year, for a whole year, and it included individual counseling, group counseling classes, and meanwhile, my husband was, you know, drinking, and I used to live in the back, and we had to go through a big driveway, and I would have to, he would be there with his friends, and there was a gate, and they wouldn't move, so I couldn't go to these classes. The best thing I got out of that program was that they sent me to Al-Anon. After a year, they said, you have to have this little paper, this little card, and you have to have it signed to show proof that you've gone to a 12-step program. Actually, they said 12-step programs. And they gave me a list of programs, which included all 12-step programs. And that was a blessing, because I went, I don't know how I went, and I walked into different 12-step meetings and everything. Some of them shocked me, you know. And then some of them were all men. At that time, there was still smoking, but I had that experience of different 12-step programs, and that's a treasure today. That's a treasure because, so let me tell you. So then I went, and I listened, and some people didn't want to sign that little court card. It wasn't a court card, a hospital card. But what I heard there in my first month, I heard, go to 30 meetings in 30 days. What I heard was, keep coming back. What I heard was, everything's gonna be okay. But what I felt in the first meeting, which led me to go to a meeting the next day, was when I walked into that room, it was safe. There was quiet, I could sit, and all the craziness, the loud voices in my head, the stress on my shoulders, the tightness in my body, you know, for an hour, I could sit there, and I wasn't being judged or criticized or ridiculed or belittled like in my home, you know? So it was a good feeling. It was safe in that meeting, in those meetings. So I went, and I went every day, and I had the kind of job that I had a split shift. So I got to go to Spanish meetings in the morning and English meetings in the evening. And I ran to those meetings because I knew for that hour, I didn't care what he was doing. It didn't pass my mind. I didn't know what work, you know, if you work, it's like, ugh. So for that hour and a half and that feeling, I chased it. 30 days, I chased it, 60 days, and I listened. I must have been ready. You know, I listened to the suggestions that you made. You made suggestions like, you know, like eat breakfast, you know, or take a long bath, take a bubble bath, you know, do candle. You know, I heard all kinds of stuff, and I tried everything that I heard that was different, because I really was done. My husband was, you know, getting upset, and I heard you say, get a sponsor. But meanwhile, the type of Al-Anon that I was, and I was remembering this coming up, that I would look for my husband. And I balanced in the middle of like East Los Angeles and South Central, so it's in the middle. So he would love to go to South Central, and that's where he would hang out. I remember going with my children, and they were 2 and 7. And I went to a neighbor at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I told him, you know, I don't know, my husband hasn't come home, can you help me find him? And we went, and he took me through the alleys, and we looked for him. And then I said, and we didn't find him, of course. And the next time, I went by myself in those alleys looking for him with my children. And when I found him, you know, he didn't have anything, meaning, if, you know, with alcoholism, money doesn't get home. And with my home, money didn't reach home. He used to love to gamble. I would find him with his pockets empty, and I would bring him home. And I remember I would pray that I wish he learns. God, he needs a lesson. So then when he would come home all beat up, then I used to be mad at God because they beat him up. But I used to pray that's the type of lesson that I thought he needed. So I learned the hard way to be careful what I pray for. So as I kept coming to the meetings, I remember within the first month I heard a first speaker. And, you know, she had lipstick, and it was summer, and she had shorts and jewelry and little platforms. And that lady must have been like 80 years old, you know? But what she said was, you know, I really love my husband, and I love, and she called him a drunk. I love my drunk of a husband, and his name is Bill. And he said, and she said, his name is Bill, and because that's his name. His name is an S-O-B, his name is it, and she gave him all kinds of names that she used to call him. His name is Bill. So then I'm like, oh my gosh, she's just like me. Because I called my husband everything else but Jose, you know? So, and I heard her and she said that, and then she said it's okay to love an alcoholic, you know? And I'm like, wow. So I stayed. That encouraged me more to stay. And I went to a lot of meetings. Within those first 3 months, in the Spanish meetings, I found my first sponsor, and I just needed love. I didn't know what I needed, but I needed, she just comforted me, and she held me, and okay, mija, you know, come here, and she was always hugging me, and then I would do whatever she said. You know, I did whatever, like, the long-timer suggested, but whatever she said, oh, you know, we're going to go to Indio, because we're going to do a convention, and right, there's no cell phones back there. And if you know what an alcoholic car is, she had an alcoholic car, which is all bumped and, you know, crashed and everything. And then there was six of us. And then it was a little bit of a lowrider, especially with all of us in there. And they sat me in the middle. And when we were halfway there, I had never been to India. I'm from Bell. So I had only been like, maybe four miles all the way, all around. And Indio, I'm like, okay. So there's nothing, right? You go to Indio, there's nothing. It's desert, right? And then I said, oh my gosh, no one knows where I am at. I don't know these ladies' last names. And it's hot. But it was a wonderful, you know, I just followed them like a little chick, you know? So then I got my first experience of being in a committee and a convention. Like I said, I did whatever they said. I snuck away from my husband. But a lot of times he was buzzed when he would come home. He was buzzed, and he would work, have his beer. And I always made sure that I had his meals done. So I was able to go to these places. I was able to start to get a life for myself, you know. At that convention, I remember my job was blowing up the balloons. So I learned so many things in here. I blow up the balloons and then put the napkins really nice. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know a place, put the place sitting really nice, the knife and the fork. I've learned stuff like that here in Al-Anon. So at that convention, when I saw all these people, I'm like, and they had problems, and they had been affected by alcoholism, you know. And during the meetings, I loved it. At that time, the meetings, right, they had the 24-hour marathons. And I was there at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And then they would sign my name, and like, okay. And you're gonna be the reader at a 4 o'clock meeting. Like, what? So we would go to sleep, and I remember going and getting up, and then we went to that meeting at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I got involved in the beginning. What happened was that sponsor, her husband passed away. And then she told me, Well, let me tell you one of the things you suggested was my husband, because what happened was my attitude started to change with my husband. And she said, you know, when he comes home, greet him, you know, and I'm like, what? And, you know, say hello, and then she said, and then she asked me, I said she made me, but she didn't make me. She asked me to give him a kiss on the forehead, and oh my gosh, and she says, yeah. And I'm like, oh, that was the hardest thing to do, because I despised him, you know. I was so angry at him. So, and then she says, and then tell him Papi Chulo, which means like, I don't know, what does it mean, like?
Sweet daddy.
So, yeah, sweet daddy, there you go. And I'm like, but I was open, you know, to suggestion, and then she told me put the timer and stand in front of the timer, and I didn't have a timer, and hug him and tell him that you're gonna hug. So she said 5 seconds. Oh my gosh, those 5 seconds lasted forever. You know, 5 seconds to hug your husband, the father, to hug my husband, the father of my children. But what happened with that was that my heart started to the glacier that I had in my heart started to melt, you know. And then we would stand there, and he would always tell me, Tesla, you're crazy. Two of his favorite things to tell me was, you're crazy, estás loca, and you're a martyr. In Spanish, he would say martyr. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that means, so I don't care. But when I came to Al-Anon, and I saw that word in our daily reader, I'm like, oh my God, he knew who I was, you know, way before I knew. He would always say, I'm Martina. So those 5 seconds became 3 minutes and to 5 minutes, and then that was a great lesson. But going back to my sponsor, she said, you know, I'm not gonna be able to help you, you have to find someone, because I'm gonna go, she moved out east someplace, I'm gonna go with my daughters, and I won't be able to help you. What happened was, since I was being of service, there was this little afternoon meeting, and I was the secretary, and it was the time of the riots. And at that time, the secretary had a list, and that's how you got your speakers. And no one wanted to come. No one wanted to pass, because you had to pass by Huntington Park, and Huntington Park was, you know, it was a hot, it was whatever. That's where the National Guards, all down Pacific, they were all there. It looked like a war zone. And no one wanted to come. And this speaker that I had heard at a convention, I loved conventions, and I started to go. And I heard her there, and then I called her, and I said, and she said, sure, honey, it would be a pleasure, and it would be my privilege to go over there. I was like, wow. You know, she came down. She came down, and she shared, and it was not a big deal. And then she shared that her husband had just died. And she was walking through that death of her husband. So I'm like, okay, so I needed a sponsor because my other sponsor left. But meanwhile, I had a lot of loving, I would call them aunts. You know, they just loved on me, which is what I needed. And so I always had someone extra to talk to or call. So then I asked her to be my sponsor, and then she said, but you have to come over here to my meeting, because I need to see you one time. We need to share a meeting together. So I was in Bell, and I had to go to the LAX airport. And it was hard to get there. You know, my car was an alcoholic car, because my husband had it, and he had a little truck that he didn't used to let me drive because it was stick, and he didn't want me to, you know, the gears, whatever. And when my car gave out, he crashed it one time, and in the craziness, it didn't get fixed. So I remember going, asking him to take me to the bus stop, and taking the bus, and going all the way to LAX. And I'm saying that because that was a big deal, because I had to pass through different kind of cities, and that's when Burley, like all the carjacking were happening, and I was going to not safe neighborhoods. And my grandmother at that time, she was so angry at Al-Anon because she thought I had changed religion, I always had the little one day at a time book. She was so mad, and she didn't like Al-Anon. She didn't like Al-Anon. And she would tell me, look at them making you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do, and you leave your children. I remember going, and my husband said, you're really crazy. What are you doing? How are you going to get? But you know, somebody from all the way over there brought me home, and they was way out of the way. They brought me home. So I started going to that meeting. And I learned a lot of stuff. It was really strict. I learned, it was really structured, not strict. Well, maybe strict, but. I learned things like going I loved the conventions, and then I learned about retreats, and I learned about just gatherings in women's homes, and you know, I learned how to run a dishwasher. You know, and I used to remember thinking critical. I used to say, oh, well, these women are crazy. Why are they washing the dishes, rinsing the dishes, and then putting them in the washer to wash? You know, and so she taught me how to run the dishwasher. I remember my daughter bought me a dishwasher. She goes, you have to have a dishwasher like that. And I never used it. I gave it away. I said, no, by the time I find the little pod and put it in there and open it, I did the dishes already. So, going back to, as I made that transition to that other meeting, my children were growing up, and then it was suggested that it was a family disease, so to take my children to Alateen. And I remember when the first time I took them to Alateen, they were 5 and 12. And at that meeting, it was a Torrance meeting that had all the meetings preteen, Alateen, and then Al-Anon, and then it had an AA meeting. And I hated that meeting because the truth was coming out. And the truth was that they knew, and I'm sure they knew, that their father drank, you know, because they would see him drink, or they would see the beer cans at the house. But they loved that meeting. I remember both of them saying, oh, we love that meeting. You know, they give us cookies and punch, and they don't give us generic cookies and punch, you know? So, you know, if you have an Alateen, send them to Alateen. And when I sponsor someone, I suggest that they send them to Alateen, just to know. And what my children learned? They learned that to love their dad, that he was sick, you know, that alcoholism is a disease. They learned that there was Al-Anon, and they learned that it was Alateen, Alcoholics Anonymous. So they learned where to go if they ever needed it. With that, fast forward, when I got to sponsor women, it was amazing, because I'm like, I don't have anything to say, but I had the love that had been given to me. And I had the knowledge of that the meetings were safe, and I loved the literature. My newcomer packet, I treasured it, because again, back then there was no cell phones. I would carry that newcomer packet in my purse. When I was waiting for my children, I would read it. When I was waiting in the bank line, I would read it. Back then, I could quote a lot of the stuff. Like, the only thing I remember now is, you know, what was it, Thoughts to Live? I think it was called Thoughts to Live By. That little pamphlet had those thoughts, and one of the things I said, the surest way to make a man is to think him so. I'm like, oh, well, I want to be married to my husband, and I want him to be. I knew that I had already emasculated him, you know, I had belittled him. My attitude, like I said, that's what has changed all this time. I didn't know that my looks, I didn't know that my gestures, I didn't know that my just my aura around him was so negative towards him. I didn't know that. I found that out by you, and I found that out by your example. All this time my husband had been drinking and going in and out of meetings. I also learned not to support him in those ventures, meaning not to pay, you know, the lawyers and to take him out of jail. And I stopped that, you know, and the last time he knew that I was serious, and I said, and you can't pay your jail, your lawyers and all that for the house money. And what he did was that he became a day laborer, and with that money he was pay off his thing, his whatever he had to pay. And sometimes he wouldn't get paid. You know, one time I remember he told me, he gave me a story, he would tell me that they lifted a piano and then they left him over here someplace in the west side, they left him over here. And he called me and I had already stopped going to look at it. I said, you know, I'm sorry, I can't go pick you up. He goes, but I was trying to, you know, I'm doing what you're telling me to do, you know, but I didn't pick him up. I had courage to stop picking him up. I had courage to not buy the beer because I would go buy his beer on sale to save money for the house, you know, and he couldn't have it in the house. Just little things, and I would tell him so nicely that it wasn't a big deal to him. I said, you can't have beer in the house no more. And so he bought a refrigerator for the garage, you know. But it wasn't in the house, you know. So all this time he was drinking. What I want to say to that too, my attitude, like I said, the woman that you see to here today wasn't, because the other downfall that I forgot, and I want to say it because it's important, and it's important because I remember one meeting someone came up to me and it was important to her, that I remember that I would greet my husband and I would give him that when he would come home late, and I would give him what I've heard here, that Al-Anon kiss, which is to kiss him and smell what kind of drink he was having, you know? And then that's how I knew how I react. And how I reacted was that I would slap him and then I would beat him up. That was one of the downfalls. And when I shared that, it was very painful, but that's where I came from, you know? And my husband wasn't a big man. But if he would have pushed me or shoved me, you know, I would have been in trouble. Thank God he didn't. Going back to when I would meet with my sponsor and the other ladies that she sponsored, they would ask us what we wanted to pray for, and I always prayed for sobriety in my home, my husband to stop drinking, and that's what I wanted. And what happened when I would say sobriety in my home, many years after, I got sobriety in my home. It wasn't my husband's drinking, it was my children's, you know. They found these rooms. One of them, she came up to me and she says, you know, something's going on. I don't want to be like dad. I don't want to drink. And I remember saying, Mihai, I can help you. But I had been going to open AA meetings and I developed a relationship. And this woman, we became friends, and I said, you know, my daughter needs someone to talk to. So I traded the numbers and, you know, the miracle happened. They picked her up. They took her to a shelter and they helped her. You know, and one has, I think she has 13 years of sobriety, and then I have another one that I think she just celebrated 10 years. But the thing was that both of them told me, you know, you did good. When I made my amends, one of them said, you did good, Ma. She said, you didn't do nothing wrong. She goes, I chose to do that. I chose to take that drink. You taught me right from wrong. And that helped me, because I thought I, you know, of course, I was so important that I did it to them, right? Moving along was the many years, try to make many years short. My husband continued drinking, I continued coming to the meetings, I continued going. I've been to places that I had never imagined. Like I said, right now I'm over here in La Cañada, which is so many miles away. But I've been to places like for a convention to Ireland. I got to go to Ireland for a convention. I went to, to New York, to Arizona, to Utah, and then the internationals. When I saw Lee, it made me very happy because he was there at the first international that I went to. With Willie, and I'll never forget that. There's just so many people. How amazing to see this 12-step fellowship. You know, it's so amazing. So many people can smile and laugh and cry about the find serenity, find so many magic words that have come alive to me in here. You know, I didn't know that I could be happy. You know, I understood you when you said to me, you know, if you're happy, tell your face. I'm like, oh my God. You know? I'm like, ay, ay, ay. And then today I can, it's all about being happy. I really believe that I have just a daily reprieve. And I get to do this program over, you know, and I get to do it over right now or in the morning. I've gotten a lot of ladies who've been in and out of my life, and sometimes it's hard to build those kind of relationships, you know, like the sponsorship relationship. The first time I took it so hard that when she moved on, and I'm like, well, I moved on, you know, she gets to move on too. Because the other thing I used to do was like take you hostage, you know, I wanted to make everything perfect for you. So that's been a blessing, having ladies in and out of my life. And alcoholism, also the darkest, like you say, the darkest moments have not been hard. I remember one of my children when she tried to hurt herself. And then that was the first time that I felt my anonymity was broken, because all of a sudden everybody knew in the meeting, and I had just told one person. But I didn't know that they knew that they were there just to support me. I couldn't handle that. You helped me in my darkness hours. You helped me find out who I was. In my first inventory, I didn't know that I didn't have a father, that I always had a stepfather. I didn't know that my mother was a divorcee 3 times, and that was really bad way back then, you know. You could, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I didn't know that my mother was a workaholic. And because of that, today, I live in her home. She gave me her home. And today, going through the steps right now, I had to change sponsors. My sponsor moved out of town, and it was just getting harder, so I had to change sponsors. And luckily, I have always had someone there that I would call, you know. You know, that phone list is important, but that relationship that you can build with another person is very important too. I always used to say, oh, I don't have friends, and now I do. And I used to say, I never used to say I love you, because I would say, how can I love you if I love pizza? That was my reasoning, you know? So now I can say that I love you. I understand that I love you in a special way. You know, I understand that, because it's different, right, from loving pizza. talking about pizza and finding out who I was and changing my attitude, I had to, because I knew, and they sent me to those different 12-step programs, I was able to send sponsees to wherever they needed to go, to, you know, an NA, a SLA, whatever, a marijuana, wherever they needed to go, I knew that those programs existed. And I also knew, for me, doing those inventories, I found out that I needed help in other areas. So I've gotten to walk into other 12-step programs. But I respect in Al-Anon, I'm in Al-Anon, and the other programs, I'm whatever I am over there. But it took my sponsor, and lately it took my sponsor to see, you know, who I was. Just something's not right with you. I said, go here. And I'm like, I don't want to, why? You know, so I followed direction, right, and I went to that other 12-step program. I feel like I can't remember that character, the one that he has a lot of sponsors in some movie. Anyhow. When I went to those other meetings, I found the same thing. It's really the same thing. Is, you know, what has happened to me is through working the steps, I have walked into God's arms. And through working the steps, I found out who I am and who you are. And it's okay whoever you want to be, and it's okay whoever I want to be. I'm not going to tell you I don't become judgmental or criticize anymore, because I still can in my head. The difference is that I don't stare you down and tell you to your face, you know? That's the difference. Al-Anon has done so much for me. Right now, what happened lately was My husband, by going to AA meetings, I found out, right, it says there's only three ways out: jails, institution, or death. When that hit me and I realized, okay, that's going to be, he's either going to find these rooms or he's going to go insane. And, you know, I walked with him many times in and out the meetings and through programs and, but at the end, you know, the alcohol got him. He died of alcoholism. He died of alcoholism. And the program was there for me because I had gone to so many meetings, Spanish and English and AA and whatever, all kinds of trusted meetings. There were people in my home from different kind of meetings. My husband, at the end, they told us in hospice he was in the last 6 months. He made it a week. He lasted a week. But in that time, I had so much support. My daughters had so much support. My children, my grandchildren also had support because of their ALIP team. And there was different kind of people in that room. And, you know, my husband had to sit through meetings that they would bring us. And so he got to go to meetings every day. And he died with 37. Oh, it's been a year and, I don't know, 4 months. He died with 27 days not drinking and going to meetings forcefully. But it was amazing, you know, it was amazing that that's what happened. Someone shared earlier, you know, I didn't think about leaving Al-Anon because I don't have the drinking in my home. I have sobriety in my home. Right now I have a young Al-Anon that's been transitioning from Alateen. And she's finding it hard, you know, because Al-Anon is a little different from Alateen, but it's still alcoholism. And I just think alcoholism is affecting her by saying, "You're different." You know, that's what I think. But so I have sobriety in my home. It's amazing that my home is open now. You know, ladies can find a safe place if they need some place to stay overnight. I'm amazed that, you know, there's a room there. I bought a air mattress and I say ladies because, but you know, men, if there's a need, there's a room there too. And it's a house of, I'm not going to say serenity because the three of us are crazier than heck. And then the thing is that we could say, "Oh, you're on a halt. Are you hungry? Let's," you know. That's what the three of, because I live with my daughter and my granddaughter. Actually, now I have two roommates, you know, and we call each other roommates because we're adults now. You know, you taught me how to grow up. You're teaching me how to grow up. But they still, if the three of us, if we take a vote, they still nominate me as the one having tantrums. But you know, I can't say enough for Al-Anon, and I can't say what it's done, even in those darkest moments. You know, you helped me, it came true to me, those three. You know, my husband died of alcoholism. And I lived with alcoholism, and I loved my husband. I remember that first time when my sponsor said, "Oh, it's because you love your husband." And I'm like, "No, I don't love him." But today I know that I did, you know, and that I know it's okay to grieve. And I know I'm finding myself now, you know. I'm learning everything from my finances to, I was thinking the other day, you know, I had a daily expense. And right now I'm down to a fourth of that expense a day, and it's hard. It's very hard, but I'm doing it. You know, I'm doing adult things. I'm doing something different. Thank you. And what I'm doing different, and I'll leave you with this. changed attitude, and I'm getting to learn to work my traditions is I took a line, I'm taking a line dance class. And that's completely different for me, right? And I have to work my tradition for the unity of the group. So I wanted to stand in the corner so that I'd be out of the way. That was my solution. They say no, because you're gonna be in the way, because when we go to that wall, you know you're gonna be in the way, and we go to this way. So they put me in the middle. And I love to dance. And she said, no, with your left, with your right. So I have to do a step at a time for my line dance class. I have to be united with that group. So I get to work my program in all my affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
David. Let's thank Elsie again. Yeah.